to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Only faintly now I see him, with a darkening veil between. But the blessed day is coming, when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry skies. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What rejoicing in his presence, when is banished grief and pain. When the crooked way is straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loved me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry skies. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by.
Amen. Thank you for that. That is going to be an actual thing that happens to you. If you know the Lord as Savior, that moment is coming. And boy, is that going to leave an impression. The first time you see the one who saved you. Wow. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Psalm number 32. Psalm number 32 this morning. The subject this morning is something that the Lord laid on my heart maybe a month and a half ago or so like that. And I thought if next time the Lord gives me opportunity to preach, I think that's something I'd like us to consider. And the title of the message this morning kind of gives everything away, I understand. Should have had come up with something a little more obscure maybe. But you kind of know the direction we're going today. I was going to preach on the procrastination fascination, the art of keeping your eye on the time, but I didn't have a message for it, so I didn't go there, nor did I have the time to work on that. Kind of, you don't preach on subjects that you struggle with, right? But we're here at Psalm 32 today, and covering the subject of being a teachable person. And I hope that you'll just listen to the Holy Spirit this morning in whatever way he uses this and speaks to you, and be ready to do whatever he shows you, and be sensitive to his leading. Psalm number 32 is a familiar passage, and it's one that we often deal with concerning the subject of confession of sin. And that is because it's a very popular one, and one where David was confessing sin. Very likely the time when he sinned with Bathsheba and had Uriah murdered and all that, this very likely could have been connected to that incident in King David's life. Psalm 32 is also is kind of a parallel passage to Psalm number 51. Okay, maybe this one's more like David's commentary later about his confession in Psalm 51. I don't know, but there's some real important things about confession and the work that God does in your life when you realize you have sin to deal with. And so David speaks of that here. But I want to deal with verses 8 and 9 today. And verses 8 and 9, some look at that, look at verse 8 specifically, some look at that and say the text here is transitioning to now God is speaking maybe to David. Or some say this is David now instructing us more personally. You could look at it different ways. It doesn't really change the applications that the Spirit wants to do in our hearts today. I think I go with the normal where God is saying, I will instruct you. I will teach you. Maybe he was using David to do that. But either way, God has a message for us here today. And it is this. Let's read it. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Excuse me. I will guide thee with mine eye. Verse 9. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. It is certainly true that God has a heart to guide us, to teach us, to instruct us. And we'll talk about that more here this morning as we consider the necessity that we be people who can be taught, who can be instructed, that we be teachable. And so I ask you this morning, are you a teachable person? Is there a humility about you when you realize I'm being given instruction, where you want to get everything you can out of that and grow in whatever the Lord has for you in that? Many relationships have been broken because someone was not teachable. Many relationships were never able to grow because someone was not teachable. Many great works were never accomplished because someone was not teachable. Having a teachable spirit is so important for Christian growth, for spiritual growth. So I want to ask you, do others have confidence that you will listen to their instructions, or even maybe their reprimands if needed? Or have others learned that it is not worth the pain of trying to help you anymore? That's sad. We really ought to never get to that point with somebody, right? Because that's not the Lord. But the reality is, sometimes we just feel like giving up on somebody, right? They never listen. They always think that they're right. I share my heart, and it's just kind of rejected. They walk away because that person is not teachable. Are you a teachable person? Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. Let's begin looking through this a little bit and getting some instruction for ourselves today. First of all, I want you to see here in verse 8 that if we are going to be teachable people who are able to receive instruction, maybe even a reprimand, if we are going to be teachable people, we must have a student mentality about us, a student mentality. We must recognize that we have learning to do. Each one of us has learning to do. It doesn't matter how old or how young we are. It doesn't matter how rich or poor. It doesn't matter what stage of life we're in or what position we hold. We all have things that we need to learn. Doesn't matter if you're the leader of many people or if you are subject to many people. We all have things to learn. And so that's going to require us each then to make up our minds that I am going to have a student mentality about me. In my life, as I go through whatever things I'm encountering, I have to be a student. I have to have that thinking about me. And so a teachable person maintains a student mentality in every situation. The one who's giving you instructions may do things differently than you. The teacher may be of the opposite gender. The teacher may be younger than you. The teacher may not have had the same experiences as you. And maybe your experience, quite honestly, is much greater. The teacher may even be wrong about some things. But are we willing to put ourselves in a place of recognizing that it's a teacher? Maybe, and most likely, a teacher sent from the Lord, and there's something there for us to learn. We can't have that if we don't have a student mentality about us. And here we see that in verse 8, God is wanting to us to receive instructions in life. As we're going about our way, He wants to guide us. He wants to teach us. There are things for us to learn. And so, do you recognize that in your life? It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. That's a wonderful promise there, that we can be sure that God is going to guide us. God is going to instruct us. He's not going to leave us ignorant. He's not going to just leave us out there having to figure it out on our own. No, God is going to guide us. But we have to be wanting that. We have to be having that student mentality so the instruction, so the teaching can sink into our hearts. And so do you have a student mentality about you? In every situation. I know there's some situations it's very difficult to have that student mentality, isn't it? It's very difficult to receive instructions from some people. But nonetheless, we must recognize we have learning to do in everything, in every situation. And God is behind all of that effort. He is trying to guide us. He's trying to shape us into what we need to be. The Bible says in James 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. There has to be a humility about us, a readiness, an attentiveness. We'll get into that more later. That we are recognizing instructions coming my way. And I need to be receiving that. So a mentality that you are a student is so important. There are things for you to learn in every situation. I want you to think, what situations do you find yourself in where it's particularly hard for you to do the learning there? Because God does have learning for you there. God does have something for you to grow in through that. It may be some instruction or a reprimand coming your way that is very difficult to take. It really hurts your pride. But in that situation as well, God has something for you. Are you looking for that? The Bible says in Proverbs 8, verse 32 through 33, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction, and be wise, refuse it not. That's as a father speaking to his children, and it's saying, blessed are they that hear that instruction, that hear it and take in the wisdom that could be gained from that and refuse it not. And so we see a teachable person must have a student mentality in every situation. But also, a teachable person needs to recognize that God is the ultimate instructor. God is the instructor. He may be using a person younger than you to teach you. He may be using a person that has a whole lot of things that are messed up in their life. God can use all kinds of people to guide us in the way that we should go and to help us learn. But we need to recognize that the instruction is not coming from that person. It's coming from God. Well, how could a person who has so many things messed up in their life speak for the Lord? Well, that's the mystery of it all. It's an amazing thing how God can take difficult situations and use them for good, but he can, and he does. God can use anyone to accomplish his will. And that, when you let that sink into your heart, that will help you a whole lot to learn the lessons along the way that God has for you. And so ultimately, we must see God as the one who gives us the teaching that we need. And he will be sure to guide us through life if we let him. Again, he says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Psalm 25, verse 8, it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. He's a good God to teach us. Psalm 25, verse 12, it says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. And so the fear of the Lord is a very important thing. It's if you have the fear of the Lord, you're going to recognize you need help. You don't know it all. You need someone to instruct you and guide you. And it says that he will teach the way that we should go. And so a student mentality is so important. Is there this mentality about you that you recognize, I am in need of more instruction? I am in need of more learning. I don't have it all figured out. I'm not the teacher. I'm the student as I go through this life. God is the teacher. God is the instructor. But so often, don't we want to take all the experience we're gaining in life and all the knowledge we have and all this and start being the teacher? We need to see ourselves as a student as we go through life, recognizing we don't have it all figured out. And so, number one, that student mentality. Do you have a student mentality about you? But number two, I want you to notice an attentive spirit. An attentive spirit. Folks, if we're going to be teachable, if we're going to be able to receive instruction and thereby grow in the way that God wants us to be growing, then we have to be very attentive, an attentive spirit. It says in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, Pastor has taught us on this verse before, I believe, and probably not too long ago because it sticks in my mind. But we've seen there how that picture is, you could illustrate this way, like a master instructing his servant. So maybe think of it this way. So a master of a nice household has some guests in, and he has some servants and those to take care of the needs, and the guests are there eating, and he's eating with them, and he notices the guest needs something at the table, and in walks a servant. And what can the master do? He can guide with his eye, and he just gives a little look. And that faithful servant, that attentive servant, will be able to know exactly what the master is wanting, exactly what is needed. The instruction is communicated just through the eyes because that servant is attentive. And so we must have an attentive spirit. God, we need to be so attentive to God that he can just, with the slightest speaking of his spirit, guide us. What is real listening? I try to teach my kids this, and we've all been taught this before. What does it really mean to listen? Does it mean to just hear the instruction? No. It means to have your eyes focused on the teacher as well. Not just hearing the instruction, but also focusing with your eyes. That is listening. It's hearing and seeing. Why? Because distractions are then being ignored. And there's a spirit about you that is attentive to the speaker. And so that's real listening. Not all teaching is directly given to us in life. It doesn't always come actually spoken through someone's voice. Sometimes it's a lot more subtle to pick up, but there's instruction there that God is trying to show us. He's trying to communicate to us through whatever the events are. And so sometimes we must be very attentive or we will miss critical instructions. And so an attentive spirit, a teachable person, is alert to the slightest indication of instruction coming that person's way. God said, I will guide thee with mine eye. So a good parent is able to influence his children's behavior with just a look. You remember that growing up, I'm sure. Your parents gave you a look, and you knew exactly what that meant. That look carried with it instruction. And oh, that our spirits were so attentive to the Lord and what the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate to us, that we would be that in tune to obey. I honestly think that there are so many things that God is trying to constantly send our way. So many instructions that if our ears were a little more open to what He is speaking, that we would grow all that much faster and closer to the Lord. And so we see a teachable person is alert to the slightest indication of instruction. I don't know how that may come our way all the time, but think about it. You may be in a casual conversation, and God has something there that He wants to use in your life. Maybe I'm talking with some of the other guys about my vehicle, or we're talking about vehicles, and there God has instruction for me. And something there for me to learn that is useful 3 weeks down the road. And so we need to be very attentive to the instruction. It may be that there's something that really needs to be changed in my life. And another person is in conversation, and they mention how they're struggling with something, and boom, right there, the Holy Spirit wants to convict me. And that person wasn't even rebuking me. They didn't even know what was going on in my life, but right there it is. God has instruction for me, and He's guiding me with His eye. Are we attentive enough to His Spirit to pick up on all the instruction God is trying to send our way? Because God is sending it. He loves us. He doesn't want us to go off out of the way. He wants to guide us in the way. And so a teachable person is alert. A teachable person is alert to the slightest indication of instruction, but also a teachable person is alert to a good example to follow. So there may be something that's being said that we need to pick up on, but there also may be examples around us that we need to be observing. Good examples that God has put into our lives that we need to take note of. And so I ask you, who are the good examples that God has placed around you? Do you strive to follow those examples that God has placed in your life? Maybe there was a time where you recognized those as good examples, and you were following and you were learning, and there was instruction coming your way that you were just soaking in and growing in the Lord. But then maybe you got distracted. Maybe you allowed yourself to become too familiar with those examples. You normalized the examples that God has placed around you, and now they're not able to impact you as much as they ought to be impacting you, because you now feel that you have experience. You now feel that you have learned some things. And yet God still wants to use those examples to really set a course for your life. But you've gotten to a point to where you have started to set your own course, where you think maybe you know it a little better. Be so careful. Be so careful about normalizing the examples that God has placed in your life to where they're not able to be used effectively by the Lord anymore. Get back to that time where you were watching and you were observing, and that person, that godly person, was able to influence you the way that God wanted them to be able to influence you. Get back to that point and start following that godly example again. And so a teachable person has an attentive spirit. A teachable person has a, what was the first one? A student mentality, excuse me. There we go. I had it and then it went out of my mind. Thirdly, I want you to notice a discerning mind now. A discerning mind. This is interesting in verse 9. It says, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding." Which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto me. A teachable person needs to have a discerning mind. You see, humans are much different than animals. We are made in the image of God. We have been given a conscience and an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Animals have no such thing. As I observe animals, I see that they are interested in just two things: food and survival. That's all they care about. Food and survival. They are interested in eating what is in front of them or doing what their master wants them to do so that they can eat something in front of them. They're just interested in those things. It's very basic. They don't have that God-given ability to distinguish right and wrong. They don't have that conscience in them. And so God has made us very unique. And here in verse 9 it says, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding," which cannot discern. They don't have that discerning mind. I really observe this on the farm and some of the work I get into, and it's so true. These cows, they're just interested about food and survival. I milk that cow, and she knows the routine. She knows where to go, but is so easily distracted. And it's what she knows is just from habit. It's from doing it over and over and over again, and it doesn't stick real good. I mean, she's supposed to go behind the gate, and you're taking her that direction, but she goes on the other side of the gate, and you circle back around. The Bible says, don't be like that. Have some discernment. Have a discerning mind. Know what is right and wrong, and understand these things. Don't act like that horse or like that mule. I've gotten a little more experience with mules this past year, working with the Amish, and was able to observe what it's talking about here, the bit and the bridle. And we put these things on these animals. Why? So we can control them. So they do what we want them to do. But that is not their natural thing. It takes them time to get used to that because they don't have the discerning mind to recognize it is right for me to plow this field for my master. It's right for me to go here because that's where my master wants me to go. They don't have that discernment. And the Bible says, don't be that way. Now, the truth is, why are we given the instruction not to be that way? Friends, it's because we so often are. We so often are like the horse. We so often are like the mule, living as if we don't have that discernment that God wants us to have. And so, what do we need? Well, it talks about the bit and the bridle here. And that really helps us to see that external controls for the animals are pretty important. If you're going to get these animals to serve you and do what you need, you have to apply some external controls. And unfortunately, the way it is with humans, we often need some sort of external controls because our hearts are not pointed toward the Lord like they should be. Our discernment does not lead us to wanting the right. Often it discerns, it leads us to the wrong. And so we have to have the discerning mind that God intends for us to have, that God tries to instruct us to have. But when we don't, the external controls are necessary. So what am I talking about? The bit and the bridle. It's required to keep these animals in line. And it says, lest they come near unto thee. Now, you could take that last phrase two different ways. Some people think that it's kind of a negative interpretation, like if you don't control the animals, then they're going to come near unto you and hurt you. I like a different understanding of this, more a positive interpretation. In other words, you need the bit and bridle so they will come near unto you. So you could say the word lest, you could say it kind of like, or they will not come near unto you. So whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, or they will not come near unto you. And so you understand, they need these external controls so that they are guided in the right way and they serve the master properly. Now here's some things I want to bring out with this. A discerning mind. Unfortunately, external controls for even us humans are necessary at times. I'm not talking bit and bridle, but what I am saying is we have to have rules. We have to have standards. And they are very important in different situations. But God really wants us to be following Him. You see, here it says, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. It's not God's desire that we're a bunch of animals without discernment. It is God's desire that we are teachable and humble and we have a discerning mind to recognize what is right and to choose to do that. And if we're not, which unfortunately is often the case, then we have to have the external rules, the external controls to keep us where we need to be so that we are serving the master, so that we are where the master wants us to be. But why do we... But let me say it this way. So there's some interesting concepts to think about here in this verse. Think, first of all, of the concept of restraining grace. Let's call it that way. Restraining grace. There's rules. There are standards that we can see in the Bible, and we can recognize there are certain ways we should be living based on who God is. And so it's good to have rules. It's good to have standards. And God has times where He has to deal with us with that restraining grace, we could call it. This is God in His grace giving us rules to keep us from wandering away. It restrains us. But another concept we need to understand about rules and standards and the way we live and why we do what we do is releasing grace. You have restraining grace, but we could also call it releasing grace. And it's the idea that God loves freedom. God wants to be able to release his children so they can experience more of the peace and joy that freedom brings. But he cannot do it if we lack spirit-guided discernment in life. And so as we are teachable people, as we are growing in the Lord, we are going to have a discerning mind. Don't be like the animal. Don't be like the horse, the mule, that doesn't have that discernment, who has to have those external controls to keep them in line, who has to have that guidance, or they won't come near to the master. Instead, have that discernment, be led of the Lord, have that teachable spirit, listening to the instruction that God gives you on a regular basis so that you are drawn near to the master. God wants to give us releasing grace. He loves freedom. He loves peace and joy and wants us to be able to experience that in life. But so often, we have to live in that restraining grace because we're being like the horse or like the mule without that spiritual discernment. And so I have seen that concept, those concepts more as I've been a parent. And the parent, when you're parenting children, the parent has to give strict rules, especially when they're young. Until the child proves that he is capable of more freedom and more responsibility. And so slowly the parent is, as the child is growing nearer to his heart, and as the child is growing in his ability of taking on responsibility, the parent is slowly able to give releasing grace, slowly able to let the rope out a little more. And it's something that you experience in parenting, and it is something that our Heavenly Father operates with as well. He has to give us rules, or we go all over the place. But the more we draw near to the heart of God, the less the rules are necessary. And so we see external controls are a reality. But God loves freedom. And he loves to be able to give his children releasing grace as they draw near to his heart. So a teachable person recognizes the true purpose of rules and standards. They are given to get you to focus more on the master. All right, so you put the bit in the horse's mouth and the bridle and all that. That controls that animal and gets them focusing more on their master. Sadly, though, many believers, many of us in our spiritual walks with the Lord never grow beyond a focus on the rules, and we miss the blessing of freedom in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." You see, the law is to bring us unto Christ. Colossians chapter 2, chapter 3, the beginning of chapter 3 is a very good passages concerning this subject. But verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Verse 10 of Colossians chapter 2, "And ye are complete in him," that's Christ, "ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Verses 13 and 14, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And I love this, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us." You see, the rules, the bit and the bridle, that was against us. That was tough. That was hard to live under. But Jesus Christ gives freedom. And he blots out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Why? Because the cross is sufficient. What Jesus has done is enough. As long as we're following the heart of our master. It's enough. Jesus has done it all. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject unto ordinances?" You see, Paul was trying to draw the readers there to Christ, who is sufficient. And so do you have a discerning mind this morning? Do you recognize the purpose of these rules and the standards and the bit and the bridle that unfortunately we so often need in our lives? But do you recognize the purpose is to draw us to the heart of the Master, to get us focused on the one who is enough, the one who will guide us, who will instruct us, who will teach us in the way which we should go? So a teachable person will begin to develop that discernment. But finally, I want you to notice with me this morning, a teachable person will have a depending heart. And it goes right along with what we just spoke of here with the discernment, but a depending heart. And so we must come to the recognition that our Master is all we truly need for eternal security, for godly living. Christ is everything. Again, it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." That's speaking of Christ. All the treasures of wisdom, what we need to know, the instruction we need to have, and wisdom and knowledge, it's all in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You see, Christ is everything. He's our life. There's people in many different religions that their life is all about the rules. It's all about the standards. But that was not God's intention with all those external controls. It was to draw people to the heart of God. And so a depending heart is very important for the teachable person. We have to come to that point to where we realize it's not the rules, the standards, the way I live or what I do and how good I can be. It is a dependence upon who Christ is. Do you have that depending heart on the Lord Jesus Christ? Here in our text of Psalm 32, verse 9, it says again toward the end how the bit and bridle are there, lest the animals come near unto thee, okay? Or they will not come near unto thee. And so, again, I look at that as these external controls are so that these animals who don't have the discernment they should will then still be able to serve the master. But the goal of the master here is for the workhorse, the mule, to be near to them, to him, to get them to come near. And that's the heart of our God too. He wants us to draw near. And a teachable person, as instruction is coming at them, will stay close to the master. And that teachable person with that discerning mind that they need to have will stay close to the master and not need the external rules to want to be there. Let me say that again. A teachable person stays close to the master and does not need the external rules to want to be there. Are the external rules important? Yes. There's times we as humans need them. But here the Bible says, don't be like those animals. Draw near to the master, and the external rules will not be needed to want to be there, close to the Master. So external rules, they hurt when you are constantly rubbing up against them. I remember this past summer baling hay with my Amish neighbors, and some of the mules got real sore on their bodies from rubbing up against the external controls, the bit and the bridle. They gnaw away at their bridle because it feels uncomfortable to them. And so that hurts. But Jesus is a loving, tender, good shepherd. And I love the illustration that I've heard of the good shepherd. How some people look at this paradigm here and they say, rules, standards, and yet you have Jesus and he's a good shepherd. How does this all work? And some say, but you have to have fences out in that pasture for the sheep. Or the sheep will just wander off everywhere. But I love that illustration of the good shepherd and the sheep. There is a place for those fences. But fences are not needed when the sheep are following the voice of their shepherd. When they are depending upon him, when they recognize him as the supplier, as the protector, as the savior, when they know his provision and place their full dependence upon his supply, those sheep find peace. And if you are not listening to the voice of the shepherd, you will eventually get all tangled up in a fence. The shepherd moves here, the shepherd calls there. You follow the shepherd. You stay focused on Jesus. And it will save you a whole lot of problems and difficulty with the fences. But when you do get tangled up in a fence, you can be assured we have a good shepherd. He's not, your getting stuck in the fence is not going to go unnoticed. The good shepherd will come to you again and again. He'll untangle you. He'll speak to you. You'll hear his voice. But you're going to have to make the choice for it not to happen again, to start listening to his voice, to draw near to his heart, to keep focused on the Master. When he goes here, you go there. When he goes there, you go there. He'll lead you to green pastures beside the still waters. He'll lead you in the way of righteousness, which we've heard recently is not always an easy way, but it's the right way. And it'll be okay if you stay focused on the Master. You see, God has instructions for each one of us. Constantly, it's coming from all different directions. Are you a teachable person receiving it? We have a very good shepherd who cares for us. He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. But we need to be focused on him to get it. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10, 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And so, in conclusion, are you ready to receive instruction? It may come from someone younger than you. It may come unexpectedly through some rebuke that you didn't even realize you had messed up with a situation, and all of a sudden, boom, you're getting hit with a ton of bricks by somebody. How do you respond in that situation? Is it with a humble, teachable spirit? We need to have a student mentality about us all the time. We need to be attentive so that God can guide us with his eyes. Just the slightest bit of instruction coming our way, we're picking up on that. We're receptive to it because our hearts are not hard. We need to be watching those examples that God has placed into our life and determining to follow what God shows us there that we need to imitate. We need to have that discernment about us that God and his word brings to us so we can know what is right and wrong. It comes from him. We don't have it in ourselves. If it's just depending upon our own discernment, then we're going to be like the animals and need more of those external controls. But God wants to take us to a place of peace and freedom. And that comes when we're focused on the good shepherd. And so are you a teachable person? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, help us to be people that receive instructions. There are so many situations in life that come up, and many unexpected, Lord, that our flesh wants to take over, and we want to, in our pride, reject the instruction that is coming. Oh, but God, I pray that you would help us to be humble students all the time. Lord, I pray that because that can keep a church together. That can keep relationships from falling apart. Lord, that can cause great works to be accomplished when people are teachable. Lord, I thank you that you are a good teacher, and that you will guide us if we keep our focus on you. So, Lord, we ask for your help in this. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.